On this occasion of the administration of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we turn together in God's inspired word to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. The text to which I call your attention this morning is verse 18 of Psalm 34. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. This morning, beloved, when we receive the means of grace, not only in the preaching of the word, but also by the administration of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, I call your attention to a text that's full of comfort for those whom Jehovah saves. The text speaks of Jehovah's nearness to the brokenhearted. How blessed it is to be brokenhearted. Because Jehovah's nearness belongs to the brokenhearted, and his salvation to the contrite in spirit. David had been running away from Saul. He had been warned by his friend Jonathan that Saul was seeking to kill him. And running first to the friendly land of Nob and the priest Ahimelech, he and his men were strengthened by the holy bread of the Lord. From there he went to Gath, where, finding himself in danger before King Achish, David acted like an insane person in order to escape with his life. During all these frightful events, David continued to look to the Lord. We read, beginning in verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And David praises God for that deliverance. continuing in those thoughts, thoughts of the greatness of his God and the salvation that could only be enjoyed in him, David expresses a desire that others also fear the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. But he realizes that such deliverance is not for everyone. Verses 15 and 16, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. But the psalmist would also have God's people live in the confidence that Jehovah is near and saves them. That's the background of this text. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So this is a text that ties in to what we heard Reverend Van Overloop preach last Sunday evening from Isaiah 57, verse 15, for preparatory. I call your attention to Jehovah's nearness to the brokenhearted. We notice, first of all, his saving nearness, secondly, the objects of that nearness, and finally, the receiving of such nearness. In the first place, we consider that blessed thought of Jehovah's nearness. It's a special nearness, beloved. To be sure, Jehovah is near to all. Scripture testifies of that in Acts 17. When in Athens, giving witness to the philosophical and idolatrous Athenians, who worshipped at an altar with an inscription to the unknown God, the Apostle Paul said, "The true God I declare unto you. He isn't far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being." God is everywhere present. That's a truth emphasized in Scripture to the comfort of those who are in Christ Jesus, and to the definite discomfort, even condemnation, of those who walk in sin. The living God is so near everyone in his power to uphold and govern all things that one cannot possibly escape the testimony of his eternal power and Godhead, and that he is the God who must be glorified and thanked as God alone. Romans 1 spells out clearly that such is how men come face to face with God in his greatness and glory, in his nearness as the everywhere present God. We all stand before the face of the holy God. And we dare not say that God looks in kindness among all the children of men, ever, not even for a moment, because he is God. He's the God of infinite perfections. He's the Holy One, the perfectly righteous judge. And as he is, so he makes himself known. The Lord always reveals that he is righteous. He is unchangeably devoted to himself and to his own glory, and never does he reveal himself anything but holy. So it is when we speak about his nearness to all the children of men, we understand clearly, even as he has revealed himself in the Scriptures, that Jehovah reveals himself in all the works of his hands, not as some neutral, abstract being of compromise and tolerance, but as the infinitely perfect God. Eternally, therefore, he loves all that is in harmony with his own perfection. and eternally, he hates anything that is not in harmony with his righteousness and holiness. And therefore, in this creation and in this present time, and among all his creatures, God blesses or curses constantly. Always he makes himself known as the God who saves or who destroys. For it is, even as we read in verses 15 and 16, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Always he is near, either in his favor or in his wrath. And it is that nearness of God that provokes the unbelieving in their deep-seated enmity of him to change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, an image of their own making. And as we read in Romans 1, verses 18 and following, they change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Yes, indeed, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, as we read in Proverbs 3, verse 33. How horrible is that nearness of God to those who are the objects of his wrath. That's why I emphasize this morning, the psalmist speaks here of a special nearness, a nearness that is particular. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. His nearness, therefore, is a saving nearness. The psalmist sings of a nearness of fellowship, the perfect bond of love. He sings of the strongest tie of love that could ever exist, the love revealed in Jesus. True, the psalmist could not yet look back and see that love as we see it. Jesus was not yet come. But by faith which laid hold of the promise, David could sing of his salvation. He sings of Jehovah's nearness, a nearness to redeem, to deliver, to guide and protect and lead to everlasting glory in the promised Messiah. The nearness of a Savior, the one who alone is our shelter in distress, is the focus of David's song. That's why he sings of the name Jehovah. Surely it was the Almighty who delivered him, the Lord Adonai, who is absolutely sovereign, was David's protector. But Jehovah is the name of which David sings, because in that name is revealed, above all other names of God, the wonder of our salvation. Jehovah, the unchangeably faithful covenant God, is near with his covenant love. And how we need that Savior. You confess that, don't you? After having examined your own life in this past week, how blessed are we to be able to celebrate the nearness of Jehovah this morning, not only as we hear him speak to us in the preaching, but as we partake of his supper, the signs of Jesus' broken body and shed blood. For make no mistake, that saving nearness of Jehovah does not mean that we are never in distress. The fact is, you and I are in much distress and trouble often. It's even so that when you and I live in the consciousness of our nearness to Jehovah's, to Jehovah, and that nearness to the Lord becomes evident in our lives, the more bitter becomes the hatred of those who oppose us. So we read in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, and all those who shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That had been the experience of David. He was in trouble everywhere he turned. There was no safe place for him in the land of Canaan. And he found as well there was no safety in Gath. At the time that he sang this song, he may well have been hiding in the cave of Adullam. He certainly was not surrounded with the luxury of palace life in Jerusalem. That was not yet known as the city of David. He was the anointed of the Lord, but a fugitive for that very fact. And yet he was victorious. Because he sings of Jehovah's saving nearness. He has joy in the midst of sorrow, life in the midst of death. He has reason to sing for joy. No, that saving nearness does not mean that according to the world's standards, we are spared all distress and trouble. According to this world's standards, it is in fact the very opposite. That's why it's such folly to consider Christianity a desirable thing, except you have the eyes of faith. If only by faith we are able to take our eyes off the things that are seen, the trouble and the sorrow, and fix them on the things that are not seen, then we see Jehovah's blessedness. Jehovah's nearness is a great blessedness. That Jehovah is near to save means that he's delivered us from all the power of darkness. And that power of darkness is not the power of our outward enemies. It's the bondage of sin and death. Because brokenheartedness, as we shall see momentarily, speaks of sin and guilt. It speaks of the consciousness that we deserve not only trouble at the hand of our enemies, but at the hand of the holy and righteous God. We've considered the seriousness of our sins in this past week. Did you carry the word of God with you, beloved? Have you considered before the face of the holy God the sinfulness of your sin? The only way for you and for me to experience the nearness of Jehovah is to know that all our sins are taken away. That requires a spiritual rebirth, life in Jesus. To enjoy the saving nearness of Jehovah requires that we hear the voice of our shepherd saying, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And the only way we can hear that is when by faith we stand in Jesus. That's what we must hear when we come to the Lord's table this morning. And when Jehovah is near in his saving power, he's always near in his favor. That also belongs to the saving nearness of Jehovah. It isn't so that he saves us in spite of all the distress and trouble of our earthly sojourn. He saves us through our distresses. That Jehovah is near means that he is always continually saving us. always blessing us, never cursing us. Even when it's necessary that he gives us to taste his wrath because of our sins, it's his love for which he chastens us. He saves us through means of and in the way of our afflictions. That's what we read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. And again, that's nothing that we can see with our earthly eyes and from a worldly perspective. That's a truth that we receive only by faith, as 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18 emphasizes. Jehovah's nearness means salvation for us. And ultimately, it means glory, beloved, everlasting glory in the midst of all our afflictions, turmoils and distresses, all the troubles of this life, death itself. Because death is the essence of all distress, Jehovah causes us to enjoy his grace, his righteousness, his holiness, his loving kindness, which is better than life. He dwells with us, for Jehovah is near us. Who can be against us? But we have to know ourselves the objects of that nearness. Because the objects of that nearness are limited, even as the text says. The text speaks exclusively of those who are brokenhearted and of a contrite spirit. All others are excluded from this saving nearness of Jehovah. And the reason, although contrary to the flesh, is perfectly in harmony with God himself. Because though he's the God of love, that love is focused in himself. Before there ever was a creation, God was the God of love. He lived eternally the life of love within his own triune being. God is love. And along with that love for himself, his righteousness and holiness stand in perfect harmony. Never does he change. His righteous will is always in harmony with his own perfect being. His holiness marks him as totally consecrated to himself. And in his relationship to the creation, to the creature, therefore, he can only burn with unquenchable wrath against all evil, against all who are contrary to and opposed to his own holiness and goodness. He eternally hates the hard-hearted and haughty in spirit. His face is against them that do evil. So we read in this psalm. That's why his nearness to them is not a saving nearness, but a nearness which pursues them in his hot displeasure. But understand this as well, beloved. We also are hard-hearted and objects of God's wrath as we stand before him in ourselves. I speak now to the church, purchased with Christ's blood. The blessedness of Jehovah's nearness is exactly because he looks upon us in Christ. And from eternity, it was so. Blessed be Jehovah, who has chosen us in Christ from before the foundation of the world. In the words of Ephesians 1, verses 5 and 6, he predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That was his sovereign choice to be revealed by his grace. Eternally, he looked upon his people in Christ as the brokenhearted, the contrite in spirit, because he would turn them from their iniquities and cover all their sins. And so we read in Romans 5 that the Lord, that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jehovah is near. He is near the brokenhearted and the contrite in spirit. That you are brokenhearted means that such was not the case at one time in your experience. Implied here is that your heart was hard. It was hard over against God's expressed will. Implied is that your heart was not receptive to the Word of God. That your heart was stony. The heart of a proud, self-centered sinner who would confess no guilt, who knew no repentance, who loved the darkness rather than the light. But that heart has been broken. That stony, proud, self-loving, impenitent, stubborn center of your person has been crushed and broken down. A deep, heartfelt sense of God's holiness and righteousness and his greatness and power has brought you to a knowledge that you are a child of wrath by nature. You've come to the understanding that you've offended that gloriously majestic, holy God. You've seen that in you, that is in your flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And the result is you've also become contrite in spirit. Your outlook has changed. You sense you need a closeness to God. You know that by nature and by your sins, you're outside his fellowship. You realize that the heights to which your self-love and pride have raised you are false heights, that the ladder of deception is falling out from under you, and beneath is that infinite chasm of everlasting desolation. Your once haughty spirit has been crushed. That's what it is to be contrite. And we confess that before the face of God. In the place of our haughtiness and pride has come a deep sense of humility and a hatred of our sinfulness and sin. And you've cried out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. To such Jehovah is near, to none other. He's near only to those who in humility confess their sins and acknowledge that in trying to live apart from God, they have only messed up their lives. He's near to you who have cast yourself upon his everlasting mercy. He's near to save. Blessed nearness. Blessed Redeemer. The reason that you and I receive such nearness is to be attributed only to Jehovah's mercy. It's not that our brokenheartedness merits his nearness. No matter how contrite we might become, Our contriteness could not possibly restore God's favor. Saul wept bitter tears, but never found a place to be restored to God's fellowship. Because a flood of tears can never wash away a single sin. Nor is the thought of earning that fellowship of God even in harmony with a truly broken heart. One who truly knows the sinfulness of his sin and the holiness of God cannot even give place to the proud thought of being able to deceive God by coming to him with something good in order to cover sin in his sight. But the brokenhearted find their everything in Christ Jesus. That Jehovah is near to the brokenhearted and contrite of spirit is because of his sovereign grace. That grace is revealed in Jesus. He's the one who represented us before the face of God and his perfect justice. Jesus is the perfectly righteous one who stood in our place, bearing our guilt and our punishment even unto death. And he did so perfectly, in perfect obedience to his Father. In him we are righteous before God. In him we are the brokenhearted and contrite in spirit. Yes, if nothing more than the death of Christ had taken place, we would never have experienced Jehovah's saving nearness, because he's near only to the brokenhearted and the contrite in spirit. Our hearts must be broken, our spirits crushed. And there's only one who can change a hard heart. Not a mere man who stands in the pulpit, but Jehovah himself must cause us to see ourselves in all our misery. And Jehovah himself must open our spiritual eyes to see that vision of Christ crucified for us. He humbles us. He breaks our proud and stubborn hearts, crushes our spirits, and he lifts us up, causes us to flee to the cross. He draws us to himself and gives us to experience the song of this text. And if you ask then why it is that Jehovah is near to the brokenhearted, the answer is that of the gospel of our salvation. Jehovah is near to the work of his own hand. He loves the fruit of his almighty and irresistible grace. He's near to all who are of a broken heart. He saves such as be of a contrite spirit, because they are his own. And Jehovah loves those who are his own, because he loves himself. And with broken hearts, having been restored by his grace, we shall partake of his salvation and glorify his name. Amen. Father, we thank thee for the gospel of our salvation. And we pray for thy blessing now, as that gospel is also signified and sealed to us in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Grant us thy blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen.